time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, who's about to bring us the Vatican Week in review. Joan, welcome back.
Here we are, November, and last weekend, the beginning of November. Friday was a holiday last week, the Feast of All, the Solemnity of All Saints, and the Holy Father actually
left the Vatican.
He resumed a tradition that had been started by Pope John Paul II, and he went to Verano Cemetery in Rome to say Mass in the late afternoon Saturday, the Feast of All Souls. The Holy Father did go into the Vatican Grottoes to pray before the tombs of the Supreme Pontiffs, and that's more or less a private moment. It may have a secretary or two and a cameraman or two, but other than that, it's basically a private moment. It's interesting about the grottoes. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been there. If I counted correctly, there are the tombs of 19 popes in the actual grotto area of the Vatican Basilica. And there's also many cardinals buried there and members of royal families, which often surprises visitors. You have, for example, Queen Charlotte of Cyprus. I'm not that familiar with Cyprus's history, but obviously at one time they had royalty. And Queen Christina of Sweden, and then some of the Stuarts are also buried there. And then on Sunday, the typical Angelus, no other big papal celebration on Sunday. That was the interesting story of Zacchaeus, and he's a tax collector in Jericho, and he's a very short man. He's also very despised because he's a tax collector. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years, right. So in order to be able to see Jesus, who's supposed to be just passing through Jericho, he climbs up a tree. Actually, the gospel story talks about, you know, his conversion. He meets Jesus, and Jesus says, I'd like to spend some time at your house. And from there on in, history changes a little bit, certainly for Zacchaeus. But, you know, I thought the Holy Father's words were so beautiful. There's no profession or social condition, no sin or crime that will cancel from the memory of the heart of God even one of his children. And this just is a thread we have seen since the first day of Francis's papacy. At towards the end of his remarks, because the Pope always reflects on the gospel of the day during the Angelus, and the Pope said, if you have a burden on your conscience, if you're ashamed of things you've done, just stop a moment. Don't be afraid. Someone's waiting for you. And then, I love these words. He said, climb like Zacchaeus did. Climb the tree of the wish to be forgiven. You know, some little phrases just get kind of seared into your mind and heart when the Pope says them. On Monday, there was a Mass in St. Peter's, presided over, of course, by Pope Francis, in remembrance of all the prelates, the cardinals and bishops who had died in the previous 12 months. Pope said this is obviously always a fitting time to remember the pontiffs because we are the early part of the month celebrating All Souls and All Saints. Other than that, Monday was pretty quiet, but Tuesday there were two things, the big document, but also the announcement by the Vatican that the nunciature in Syria had been hit by a mortar.
Unfortunately, no one was hurt.
The nuncio, right, Archbishop Mario Zanari, did say it hit at 6:35 in the morning. The employees had not yet come to work, although it did strike a part of the building near the residence bedroom area of the Archbishop, his secretary, and the nuns. But anyway, the other big news of Tuesday, of course, was this document, the presentation of the preparatory document for the 2014 Synod on the Family questionnaire. 9 questions with some sub-questions totaling 38 or something like that has been sent to all the bishops of the world, and they are to get input. These are questions not up for a vote, which is how a lot of the media did present the questionnaire. Everything's going to be based on doctrine, not on public opinion. So these are issues to be looked at, and what they're looking for answers is, how do we as church, how do we as pastors respond to these? How do we help people who are in unusual marriage situations, etc.? So it's more to help the priests and the bishops look for a pastoral ministry to help people in XYZ circumstances. And the synod's in, 11 months as we speak, and it's a 2-week synod, October 5.
It's an extraordinary synod,
October 5 to 19. And There will be a lot of lay participation in this synod. The Holy Father, we've heard all these months of his papacy, has stressed the importance of the role of the laity in the church. And even right here in Rome, at the Roman Curia, the role of women. He's mentioned a theology of women, but I'm not sure there's even anybody in the Curia other than the Holy Father who can expand on his words and meaning. What does he mean, theology? You're going to write a document or what?
Well, and that takes us to Wednesday when the Pope meets
all the faithful of the world. And
in St. Peter's Square, of course.
You know what was so amazing about Wednesday? The Pope continued his catechesis. He's been talking about the Creed and the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. He's talked about those. And this is his second week talking about the communion of saints. But just to digress for a minute, perhaps there were really two outstanding moments in the audience that weren't exactly related to the Pope's catechesis, except in talking about the communion of saints. He always has three ways of looking at a topic that he focuses on. One of these was charity relative to the communion of saints. And then he kind of left his text for a minute. He says, by the way, folks, can I ask you for a favor of charity? And then he laughed and he says, no, I'm not going to ask for a collection. And he said he met before the audience the parents of a little 1.5-year-old girl. I think her name is Naomi. She's very, very ill. I can't remember as we speak the name of the disease she has. The parents have been praying, madly for her recovery, and the Pope prayed for her and apparently blessed the little girl. And he said to the 50,000 faithful in St. Peter's Square, now, Naomi, she's baptized. She's a Christian just like all of us. And I want to ask you all to pray silently for her health and recovery. And then together we'll say the Hail Mary. Well, let me tell you, this silence fell over St. Peter's Square. 50,000 people silent for like a minute. And then the Pope led them in the Hail Mary. So those are the touching moments. Of course, the catechesis, the teaching is always important. But that was a very special moment, I thought, of Thursday. And then there is still a photograph that has gone viral. A man has a disease, which I can't pronounce well. A man has a disease that has caused his entire face and head to have boils on it. It is not contagious, but it does obviously turn people off because this man's physical aspect is not pleasing, of course. And the Pope went right over and put his hand on him and embraced this man. And that photograph has totally, totally gone viral. So it was an amazing day for the Pope to show love and mercy to the people that probably in life don't often get it.
And he continued his catechesis on the Creed apart from that, no?
Yes. Oh, yes, he certainly did. And then all the language summaries of his Creed, which except for the Spanish, and since May, the Holy Father has been speaking Spanish in public, but the other languages are always summarized by an official of the Secretariat of State, and so Portuguese, French, English, whatever. And then the Pope reads it in Italian, what that person has said. He greets the groups and so forth. So the typical Wednesday audience of the Pope going around in the white jeep and greeting people and kissing babies and et cetera, et cetera. He does that for like a half an hour. So, because I have people walking by my house. I'm 3 blocks from St. Peter's Square. They're walking by at 10 o'clock. And I'm going, if you're going to the papal audience, of course you think it starts at 10:30. His catechesis does. But if you want to see him going around the square, you got to be in there early. Wednesdays are always kind of fun. You really kind of want to stay home, though, and not be in St. Peter's Square unless you're intending to go to the papal audience. But so Thursday,
the Beatitudes.
They were featured because the Vatican announced that Pope Francis has chosen the themes for the next 3 World Youth Days. So it's going to be a 3-year itinerary of spiritual preparation, which will culminate in the World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland in July of 2016. And we know the Pope announced Krakow when he was in Rio for this year's World Youth Day. And all 3 themes are taken from the Beatitudes. And it's interesting because the Pope did say in Rio, he told the young people, he said, read the Beatitudes again. They will give you an action plan for your lives. He said to them, look, read the Beatitudes. That will do you good. And so 2014 is Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The 30th World Youth Day a year later is Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. And then the culminating International World Youth Day, because the previous two are at a diocesan level every year on Palm Sunday. So the 31st World Youth Day in Krakow is Blessed
are the next one, in a sense.
The next international, right. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. So
of course, there's the Shrine of Divine Mercy in Krakow.
Heavenly Days, yes. Oh, Divine Mercy, ever since John Paul, has become a staple in Catholic life and prayers, and the Divine Mercy chaplet recited at 3 every afternoon for those who follow the tradition.
And of course, this year on Divine Mercy Sunday, Pope John Paul will be canonized.
Yes, well, Divine Mercy Sunday, right, the Sunday after Easter, April 27th, 2014. So a fairly busy week for the Pope. It was a busier weekend than week itself. There was a lot of Vatican news. But Fridays are often reserved, and I think it was Pope Benedict who kind of started this. He said that he would receive heads of state and government on Fridays and Saturdays. He wanted to well distribute, even at the beginning of his pontificate. You know, he's saying to himself, I'm 78, let me kind of look at my schedule. And so by limiting receiving heads of state to Thursday and Friday, except for anybody whose visit was already on the agenda, and Pope Francis seems to be trying to do that, receive them on maybe Fridays and Saturdays, Thursdays and Fridays, or sometimes after an audience. He will go after a Wednesday general audience to a small hall in a small room of the Paul VI Hall and meet a head of state or head of government.
And they have to wait a long time now because his audience never ends.
Yeah. It's just like it ends when I leave. There's no alarm going off and I have to, pull out of St. Peter's
Square.
He does
look at his watch from time to time, I noticed.
He does, but I don't think it concerns. It's just like to know the time, not to say, oh, dear, I've only got 4 more minutes,
I think you're right, Jen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and see you next week, then.
And with that, yes, indeed.
And our thanks there go to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.